is Susan.
And this is Katie.
And welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. And Katie, you know what? We have gotten into the habit of it just being you and me for a while Portia's on sabbatical with her hubs and her family.
I know. It's almost back to the kitchen table.
I know. It's like back to the beginning, man. It really is.
Except it's very bad for our guests in a way, because we're always late to let them into the Zoom because we have so much catching up to do. That is very, very bad.
I know. It's so much talking. So because really, I think sometimes when I see people out and about, they always so kindly ask how you're doing. And I have to stop and pause and be like, I can't even remember the last time I've seen Katie face to face because of the pandemic.
I know.
And COVID and all. And I'm like, I don't know. Now I see you every Friday, like right here, but
right,
I can't even remember the last time in person, but yeah,
I know those dates
are going to be coming to an end soon. I am praying that hopefully in person we'll be able to start happening again soon.
I do too. I've gotten both the shots. So
have you?
Yes.
Well, I was imagining that you were going to bump up in the list because of the cancer. I was thinking that was going to bump you up the list for that. Yeah. For sure.
So I am kind of emerging.
Yeah. You're emerging from the cocoon.
A little bit.
That's good. So I wanted to share with you something really quick, Katie, because it has been bugging me all week. And then God gave me at 3 o'clock this morning, like the verse that I knew was directly from him. And the only reason I want to share it on here is because I have a feeling maybe some women are having moments. Is that me?
Yeah, that was me. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. I think women have some moments, and men, some of the men that listen, have moments where you just have weeks where you're blue, like you're sad or you're frustrated. And so this past week, I've hit a wall most nights, and I've just been so down, like yuck, kind of like, oh, and it started last week and then it continued into this week.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you really quickly what it's about is that, you know, Katie, that, Ed and I jokingly started this Wander On group.
Right.
So we started this because in December I was in a pit, about just my weight and my inability to move. I couldn't walk to a mailbox. I'd gained so much weight and yada, yada, yada. So jokingly, in the grossness of that moment, I put up on Facebook, because Ed and I were going for a walk like 2 days after Christmas. We were at the beach and we were like, who wants to join Ed and Susan's walking club? And people started messaging. And by the end of the week, there was like 200 people. And we were like, this is silly. Like, what's happening? And then Linda Elliott gets involved and we get this amazing logo from her daughter, Taylor. And then we start making t-shirts and people start wandering, called it Wander On because of our last name. So in January and February, I literally started moving like I've never moved before. Like, now that's not true because I did have a personal trainer like 5 years ago, but this was like daily movement, not like concerted exercise. I had built up to over a mile a day, which I couldn't even walk to the mailbox before that. And I had lost 37 pounds. I mean, it was like all of this stuff was happening. Okay. So the first week of March, I all of a sudden had the worst pain in my heels that I cannot even tell you. Like it was like the worst pain. I cannot even like, I would walk a step and it would make me see stars. It would hurt so bad. Mm. So I went to the one afternoon Ed said, this is ridiculous. He found me an ankle doctor. Who even knew there was such a thing as an ankle doctor? So I went to I had no clue. And that's the funny thing is that two fluffy people start a walking club. Are you kidding me? Usually it's like fitness people that know how to do stuff. Oh no. Oh no.
Susan, that's why you have 1400 people in the club now, 1400 or probably even more.
Let me tell you, over the weekend, we're now up to almost 1900. Like what is happening? It's insane.
It's because
I'm watching it grow and it's crazy. But all of a sudden I go to this ankle doctor and she tells me I can't walk anymore. She's like, you cannot walk.
What?
For 3 weeks. Not any, not like totally anymore, but for 3 weeks, you may not do what you're doing because I had something called Achilles. I can't even pronounce what it is. Inversion, aversion, something. Anyway, it's ridiculous is what it is. But it hurts. Like, that's the point.
Is yes.
So I've got this brace that I have to wear that looks like a house arrest bracelet. And then I have to wear at nighttime this big boot that pulls my toes back so that I can get mm-hmm. the Achilles to do what it needs to do. Okay. So I thought I was getting better after like the, they put me on these major anti-inflammatories. Like it's a thing. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And so last week I thought I was starting to feel better. And then I was like, I think I'm going to go walk the dogs with Ed, even though she told me I couldn't. And Ed, my sweet husband, was like, you are absolutely not walking the dogs with me. You are obeying what the doctor said, because we will obey so that you can start wandering again. I was like, fine. And then that night I went in to tuck Dib in bed and my ankle felt like it was on fire. Like I could not move it. I had to hobble over to the bed. I was so, and so then went the pit that I went into.
Yes. Yes.
Because all of a sudden I started thinking I'm supposed to go back to the doctor next Thursday and I'm supposed to be well, like I'm supposed to be able to tell her all of this worked and I can start walking again.
Right.
So the last two nights I have gone to bed crying. I'm not even exaggerating over my stupid foot because I'm like, Lord, I have been walking for January and February and now I am being halted in March.
Yeah.
And it was creating like this nervousness and anxiety, but even like just a sadness because I was like,
I was just going to say anxiety.
Yeah. It's like, but what am I supposed to do? My foot's not working. Da, da, da. Okay. So last night I went to bed crying and Ed's so sweet. He walked around on my side of the bed. It was just like, he got on his knees and started kissing my forehead and he went, it's going to be okay, babe. It's going to heal. And I know this sounds like crazy what I'm saying right now, because it should not be this big of a deal. But then at 3:00 this morning, I woke up and this is the exact verse that God gave me. It's from Psalm 94, 18 through 19. And here's what it says. When I said, my foot is slipping, it says that. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. And when my anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy.
Oh.
That was the entire verse. And I was like, okay, Lord. My foot is slipping. Like my foot is literally slipping and it is making me, and see what's happening is it was making me want to go back into my pit of bad eating. It was making me want to go back into my pit of what have I done? I'm not doing this. I forget about Wander On, like, you know, whatever. These people that are finally walking, and because we've got people in there that don't ever walk. Now they're walking and wandering. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, you can take care of them because I can't even walk. And so I'm like, you know, having this moment, he gives me this verse and I'm like, okay, you know what? His consolation is going to bring me joy.
Amen.
That is all I can say. Amen. And so here's the reason I'm telling you this, because I don't know what kind of pit any of our listeners have been thrown into in the last week or two, because whether it is schooling your kids virtually, which makes you want to just go and hide under a couch somewhere, because we're doing it with one of ours right now. And that is not an easy task, whether it is trying to maintain a job while virtually schooling your kids, whether it is you have broken relationships, whether it is you've lost a loved one, whether, no matter what the pit is, I love that his word is so personal. And I love that he cares that my foot is making me crazy. I still don't understand it. It doesn't make sense, because for 2 months I was getting it, man. And now it's like God has, he's flattened me and said, rest. And then I'll let you know, and I'm going to let your foot be better. And in the meantime, your consolation is going to be brought to you with joy.
Amen.
And I'm just going to have to trust that. And I just think I feel like some woman or man needs to hear that this morning, that no matter what pit you are in, when anxiety is great within you, your consolation will be brought to you with joy. His joy.
And the enemy is somehow woven into all this too.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
Discouragement. And then that can turn into disappointment. Like yeah. with God, like, God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Yeah. Why wouldn't you protect me from heel pain? You know, yeah. and then disappointment. And then if we yeah. allow that to scroll down, then yeah. that can send us into despair.
And but I'll tell you this, Katie, the thing that's been so exciting is all these people that are starting to, some of them are, we've got people that are walking, they can only do 1600 steps a day. And then we've got some that are qualifying for marathons. And it's, that's how big the gamut is with these people. These last 2.5 weeks that I cannot walk. Well, I mean, I can walk. I'm acting
right,
like I've
got
crutches or something. I mean, I can walk. I just can't walk, like brisk walk outside. But during those during these last 3 weeks, you know what has been bringing a joy to me? All I do is sit there every post that they, because they all post pictures of themselves. And I am like, woo-hoo-hoo! Like I've become like a modern day cheerleader. Yes. I'm like, you're awesome. This is amazing. And so I'm like, okay. When I'm in a pit, I think one of the ways that God pulls us out of pit is when we can cheer others on who aren't in the pit.
Absolutely. Like
say, keep going. You're doing great. And it makes Absolutely. You somehow not so much of a pit dweller. Do you know what I mean?
And then to also allow him to pull you out of the pit
yes.
with his presence, That's his correct. Word, because at 3 a.m., you had a choice to make. Yeah. You could have stayed in your pit crying, bemoaning, yes. or you could have turned to his word.
That's and right.
Yes, he gave you the verse, but you made a choice to pick up the Bible.
That's right.
And
That's right.
and be with him. And then he brings you out of the pit. And the second thing is, you always make a choice for community.
Yeah.
And listeners, yeah. that's what we want to urge you all on today.
Yeah.
Is listening to this podcast, being part of this She Speaks Stories community.
Love it.
It helps.
Yeah.
Like Susan, you didn't even know that I was, well, you did. Cause I did yeah. send you a couple of yeah. texts about yeah. my pit of despair yeah. these last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just talking to you for 5 minutes before we started our recording and being able to share some of the
yeah.
pittiness.
Community matters. We're better
Community
together.
Matters. And yeah. we have a beautiful yeah. guest.
Well, and it's funny you should say that, Katie, because I want to tell you, I posted on our social media pages this week. I had a picture of you praying at one of our live events. I miss our live events.
I do too.
A picture of you praying at one of the live events. And I just posted and said how much we love our community and that we're here to pray for you. And I said, what can we pray for you for? We had some amazing women that they wrote it right under the picture, or they DM'd us asking for prayer for really tender things. Oh. And I love that our community feels like it's a safe place where we will stop and pray for them. I do love that because I'm keep saying this, when anxiety was great within us, his consolation brought us joy. I love that.
Yeah. And how does he serve up the consolation through his word?
Yep. And it says his unfailing love
in community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how he serves it up.
That's right.
So, and speaking of community that yes. prays for one another, our beautiful, beautiful.
Oh,
Jay Claire.
I could not love her anymore. I'm going to tell you a really quick story about her before you, because I know you're going to introduce her by her bio and then we're going to dive right into the first question. But I want to tell you a little bit about why I love Claire Seavers so much. Claire and I have a heartbeat for Ethiopia because her siblings are from the same place that my kids are from. And I do believe I'm saying this correctly. I was able to deliver some, when I went for one of my kids' visits, cause we had to do two visits. I was able to deliver care packages to her siblings on behalf of them while they were back in the States waiting on their appointment to be able to come and get them. And they're just a sweet family. I mean, they really are. Her mom this week, I'm gonna tell this one last story, Katie, and then I promise I'm gonna shut up. We're gonna get to it. This last week, this isn't airing for a while, so this is gonna sound like a little crazy talking about St. Patrick's Day right now. But Wednesday was St. Patrick's Day. And her mom owns the Baked Good. And it is a bakery that 10% goes towards under-resourced families, or women. I mean, Claire could be able to explain it much better, but it's an amazing, amazing give back bakery is what it is. And also her food to die for. So I ordered, because she always makes deliveries to Joshua's school at Liberty. So it was like last call. Anybody want St. Patty's Day treats for their student? And I was like, I'm on it. Yes, me, please. And so I don't think she does this for every kid, but she does do it for Joshua. And I'm so, so thankful. She always sends me a little picture of him getting his stuff. So he got his stuff. And this time I asked her if she would attach a shamrock balloon. So I got him 6 cupcakes, all assorted. They're like mint with like little, Andy's mints on top. Oh my gosh, they look so good. And so, cause she sent me a picture of them. And then the little card that she had me write, she wrote it and I sent him the words. Okay. So he's got this balloon. So he videos this thing on his Instagram story, and he was like, thanks, mom. And I was like, I texted him. I was like, yay, Joshy. He's like, mom, you're killing me with this balloon. He had to carry that balloon all through all of the buses, through his classes. It was the best thing ever. I was like, this is fantastic. And so I texted Katie. And
it was just a little parade of I am loved.
Yes, it is.
Say it was from his mother.
It was so funny. Well, let me tell you, the fact that he put it on his Insta stories, I knew he loved it. I was like, he's feeling love today. He is feeling love today. So Katie, why don't you introduce Claire? And then we are going to jump right in, because our guests are going to love her just as much as I do.
I would be so honored, because when I first met Claire today, she told me that she had prayed for me while I was going through cancer. So I was just so touched by that, of the reality of this community for one another. So Claire is 17, and she's the third born of 6, with a heartfelt desire to honor God with the gift of worship. So listeners, come join us at the table story community for more of Claire Siever's story. Claire, yes. Welcome.
Welcome, Claire.
Welcome, honey. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we are sorry that it took so
long. I know. I did like a little sermon there. I said, oh, it's only going to be about 60 seconds. And here I preached a whole sermon.
Claire, I love this verse that either you or Gwen added to your bio. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I am guessing that is exactly what you do, setting an example. And we love having young, excited Christ followers on our podcast. So we love to start with, tell us a little bit about your family and growing up, maybe like what a typical day would look like for you.
Yeah, for sure. So that's right. I'm 17. I'm the third born. There are 6 of us. We have all been homeschooled.
I love
2 of them. My older siblings are in college. But yeah, so a typical day, I mean, right now my dad's working from home, which we love, cause he's both dad and husband and also principal, which is great for my mom, because it's like, but yeah, so I right now am doing school. For the past few years, I've been pretty independent with, school just as a senior. It's my mom doesn't really have very much to offer. But she teaches the kids still, totally. And, yeah, so that's right. My mom does own a bakery. I actually work for her, which is awesome. It can get stressful, but it's so fun. So yeah, we do school, we bake, we constantly have worship music on.
Claire, what do you do in the bakery? Just help mix stuff and.
Yes. So most times I'm moral support, but occasionally I will get the opportunity to help her bake.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's very cool.
And let me tell you, the stuff is so yum. Like, I cannot even explain to you how yum it is. I ordered something for Christmas. I can't remember what it was. And it came in and I was like, okay.
I think it was a cookie kit.
That's what it was. Okay, let me tell you. That's exactly what it was. And, okay, all right, so I need to pause here and do a little hot commercial. They have these cookie kits. And see, Katie, you know. I wish I was the kind of mom that was like, knows how to pipe cupcakes and stuff.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
I know how to do is buy them at Panera. I do not do that stuff. Me and too. So, like, my kids, when they ask me to make them cookies at night, like if we're watching movies, I do the bacon breaks. Like, I'm not even kidding you. But they still think it's a memory, but whatever. So at Christmas time, when you see all those people like decorating their holiday Christmas treats, I was like, no. Like, I cannot, that's work. And it's not that it's work.
That's a lot of work.
It's not only that it's work. I know I will not do it correctly.
Because well, that's the thing. It's a lot of work and the outcome isn't good because you don't have that gift and talent.
That's right.
That's me. I'm like, I kill myself and then it's like a blob.
That's what I'm saying.
And then why didn't I just go to, yeah.
Well, and you
go to the bakery and buy them.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So this is what I did that was even better. Katie created these cookie kits for Christmas. She also did them for St. Patrick's Day. I think she does them for all major holidays, quite frankly. And so y'all need to get up on this. The Baked Good. I was about to say the bakedgood.com. I don't even think that's true.
We'll have it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. Okay, so here is the thing. They came with a ton of pre-made sugar cookies. Then I had all of these piping bags, Katie, all different color icing. I think I said that right. Are they piping bags?
Yeah, but how did you know where to pipe?
It is not difficult because the cookie is like, so one was a candy cane. So I was able to take the white and the red and I created, and then it came with cute little glitter balls and little, little sprinkles and all these things. So Dib and Ed and I think Ruth, maybe Josh, we all sat down and made cookies. We created a complete cookie memory. I did not bake one thing. Not one thing did I bake. But I am telling you this, they were A, delicious, and B, it was super fun. But she does them for like all these holidays. I'm telling you, it was fantastic. I bet that's a lot of work though to put those kits together because that is a lot.
I tell you what, Easter is right around the corner. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. When your grandkids come to see you, Katie, you need to order one of their kits. Done. Because all you do is lay out all those sugar cookies, you give them all the piping bags, and then they throw all the sprinkles on. Magic. It is magic.
There's no mess in your house, too.
That's right. That is right. That's unlike yours. You guys are baking it all.
Claire, something I want to explore with you besides your mom's bakery is worship.
Yes.
The gift of worship. When did you realize that God kind of gave you that gift? How do you use it? How do you see yourself using it in the future?
Yeah. So it's an interesting question because I don't really feel like there's an exact date where the Lord's like, boom, here's worship for you.
There you go.
Right. I've always loved worship. There's something special about being able to encounter God through music and welcoming the Holy Spirit just into your heart. So I don't think there's an exact date, but I can say that as I've grown my desire to know the heart of the Father, the more I realized that he's given, like it actually is a gift that he's given me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think right now I'm just on a journey to learn how to steward that gift well.
Mm, that's good.
And then as far as, I mean, practically speaking right now, I have occasionally I'll lead for a few events that we have around here for, like Christian organizations that work in the schools, getting ready to get involved with our church. That's pretty exciting. And then as far as the future goes, I will be a freshman at Liberty this fall studying, I think, songwriting, which is very exciting.
I love that.
And I'm not quite sure how worship is going to play into that, but it absolutely will because that's what my heart is.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, Claire, when you get famous, don't forget about us little people, okay?
No, I won't.
That's so not. Good. Are you so looking forward to Liberty and being able to experience all of that?
I cry about every day because I can't think about leaving, but yes.
Yeah. Now will your siblings still be there? You've got one there still, or is she graduating?
So I have two there right now. She's a senior and he's a sophomore. She's doing student teaching though in the fall. So we'll all three be there for one semester.
How much fun is that?
So fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. Your mom's going to be there all the time. That's awesome. I love the phrase that you said, you want to steward that gift well. And that, you know, every human that has ever been born has been given a gift from God. And when we can learn at a younger age that it is our responsibility to steward those gifts, the outcome is sensational, because we just learn at an early age to say, okay, God, this gifting's from you. How do I steward it? Right. I mean, that's a fantastic, mature, incredible, knowledge that you have got there. And if only, you know what, if only some moms that are listening to this podcast right now could direct their kiddos in that direction to say, this is where your gifting looks like to be. How can we steward that for the kingdom? I mean, that's a pretty big deal. I love that. Yes. All right. So tell, let's shift gears here really quick. How has your parents' desire, because your mom is huge into social advocacy, which is beautiful. How has your parents' desire to care for widows and orphans influenced your heart?
So, the heart of compassion that I saw both my parents have, I mean, they cultivate it and they pour it out so well, like daily. And even 10 years ago when we started the process of adopting, it just has impacted me. I mean, even their devotion to prayer over the years, but specifically in the season of, and I'll talk about this more later, the season of beginning the adoption process and even like the entire year that it took, like their devotion to prayer. And I mean, it's just played a big role in my understanding of what can happen through prayer.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, Mark 11:24 says that therefore, Jesus said, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Yeah. So I think that even through like long processes, and this isn't even really answering the question, but even through long processes, sometimes there's not much you can do but pray.
Yeah.
I think just confidence in knowing that prayer actually does change things is everything. And like
the heart of the Father. Yeah.
It does. And even like, to speak to the parents out there, I think, even going back to the question, like, I don't think many people think their obedience to the Lord plays a big role in their kids' lives, but I can tell you, like, it does. Like, parents' obedience to the Word of God absolutely influences your kids. And I know everyone says this, but, like, my parents are honestly the best. And I think one thing that makes them different is their intentionality to be prayerful and to be obedient and let that influence us. I mean, there was a time like 6 years ago when within the time span of 2 years, my dad changed 4 jobs or the Lord.
Like, I remember this.
Different plans. We were up at a cottage, like 1,000 square feet for 8 people for like 10 months. It was crazy. But I think I can look back and I'm like, God's hand was all over it, even though it was hard.
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I love that you said they cultivate it and then they pour it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like taking the time to cultivate a heart after God by being in prayer.
Yeah.
Being in the Word. Mm-hmm. But then not stopping there. Like, it's all about me and I'm, you know, then pouring it out.
Yeah.
Because that's why you cultivate it.
Right.
I love that.
And that speaks volumes. I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so tell us about your brother and sister and how they came to be a part of your family, because they are the best. They are so sweet.
They are the best. So in December of 2009, my parents, Lincoln, my youngest brother, was about like 8 months maybe. My dad felt called. He felt like the Lord had put it on his heart to adopt. And then the next month in January of 2010, the earthquake in Haiti happened. And that's when my parents strongly were like, felt that the Lord was like, okay, this is what I'm calling you to do. So they, took a lot of prayer, and even again, the obedience to connect their hearts of compassion to the Lord's heart, it's not easy. So we started the process like a month after that. So like February, 2010, and then 13 months later in March of 2011, we got the unofficial referral for both of my siblings. They actually told us that
Betty. What month was it?
March of 2011.
Okay. Yeah.
They told us that, my brother might not be adoptable because his orphanage had closed down and they lost all his paperwork. So that took a lot of prayer also. But then in May, we got the official referral. In July, we passed court. And in November, we brought them home.
Yeah. So we are only, because here's the thing. We came home in June. We got our referral in January, went for our first trip in March.
Brought them 2011?
Yeah, of 11. Okay. And so what is insane, complete insanity, Claire, is that our families have been families now for 10 solid years. Isn't it impossible to think back that a decade has gone by? Like a decade
ago,
right now, I was delivering care packages to your siblings.
It's cool.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Because it also, I can't, like somebody will say, like ask me about life before my kids. And I'm like, I don't remember it. Like, because my kids are my life. And so I really, I have to really think hard to remember life before them.
Right. And like, how has your life changed? I'm always like, that's like saying, how did your life change after you had a baby? Like, it's just, kind of.
You know what I love, Claire, is that when you talk about it, you say we, not my parents or they. And that to me speaks volumes.
So for the longest time, my parents told us, I was like seven. They told us that we were going to start the adoption process. And I mean, from that, I've always just loved adoption. So like when they told us that, I ran up to my room, I brought my piggy bank down. I was like, how can I help? And for the longest time, I've always wanted to adopt from multiple countries. It's just been on my heart for a long time.
I love that.
I can't wait to see what the future
I'm for excited.
Claire will be and what God will do through that heart of worship, through that heart of wanting to cultivate and steward well your gifts, through that heart of wanting to adopt and loving people from all different countries. Oh my goodness, the potential in you, girl.
How old are they now, Claire?
So, long story, their birthdays changed, but Betelou will be 16 in July and Marin will be 15 in
August.
What? I know.
Okay, I didn't realize that Betelou is the same age as Ruth. I really thought he was much younger.
But he was. It's a long story.
Well, can I say this? Let me tell you this, because our listeners do not know this, but you and I know this, Claire. Ethiopia has the weirdest of dates ever, 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 ever. So right now in Ethiopia, Katie, it's 2013.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's because we always celebrate the new year. It's either 2013 or 2014. Right. And so because of that, the majority of kids, not the majority, but some kids, it was not the case for ours because we had actual birth certificates, but a lot of kids that are adopted from Ethiopia, their birth dates are off because their calendar there is so much different than the calendar everywhere else in the world.
Right. So what happened was, because they were abandoned, they guessed on their ages.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a whole, doctor scenario where they count the bones. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But Betelou was 2 years older and Marin was 3 years older.
Okay, so.
So originally, right. When you saw them, she was 2 and he was 4.
And how old did they think they were?
6 and 5.
Yeah, no, 2 and 4 makes so much more sense.
Uh-huh, I know. But no, they think they were 2 and 4. We know they were 6 and 5. It's confusing. They got older. It's a
long time. It was.
That makes so much more sense.
Mm-hmm. Confusing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, things that you just don't think, I can't believe he's 16. Well, you know, your mom and I've already decided that we're going to have a big,
I know.
We've water receivers.
I was there on Wednesday when she yelled, Joshie. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing?
Okay. I think it was the greatest thing ever.
He was like, he had his mask on. I'm sure his face was red. I'm like, oh, okay.
I love it. I could not love it more. Because let me tell you this. I am the only person ever. It's shocking to me that he allows me to do it. But since he was young, I have called him Joshie.
So sweet.
I always call him Joshie. But I also call Ruth Ruthie. And I call Dib Dib. But I mean, hers is Zebra, but I call her Dib. Yeah. All right. So I've called him Joshie forever. So any card that Katie sends to him on my behalf, I always write Joshie on it. So she was like, hey, Joshie.
Well, I asked her, in context.
I said, honey, did it like embarrass you? He was like, no, because I knew it was something from you.
That's so funny.
He had some teacher one time that called him Joshie and he was like, nope.
No. That's so funny. That's so sweet though. I love that.
That makes me laugh. So Katie, so we're having a Seavers Wanderer gathering in Lynchburg. I think we need to find just a gigantic Airbnb where we can all hang out.
Oh my gosh.
It would be so fun. And especially because now how old is your sister? How old is Maren?
14.
Okay, so she is very close. Dib is about to be 13, and Ruth is about to be 16. Okay, so that'll be fun for them to see each other again.
So exciting.
I'm curious, guys, and this might be a very dumb question, but do any of your kids still speak the original
language? Sadly, no.
Joshua can understand it sometimes, but he cannot speak it.
Okay. And, I was just curious.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing with that is sometimes, and clear, this may not have happened for you guys, but something tells me it may have. We had some people that are just like, how dare you not let them keep up with their Amharic language? Well, it was not really in the beginning, like with Josh, it was not our choice. It was his choice because here he was freshly an American, freshly in a new school. He, just like every teenager known to man, wanted to fit in. And so with the school that they went to, that he went to, had many, many Ethiopian families and many Ethiopian teachers. And they were so kind and they would try to communicate with him. He really just was so focused on learning English because he's a teenager.
Yeah.
And so, but now that he is in college, he said that he started kind of like listening to things because he kind of wants to start getting it back to be able to learn it and communicate with it. But,
and obviously it'll come back.
Yeah, I think it will too. But you know, it's not even like an alphabet, it's hieroglyphics.
How old was he when you adopted him?
14.
Okay.
Yeah. They were 3, 6, and 14.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying they're close to your siblings' age because they'll be 13, 15. Yeah. Like, and they were 16. She's 6. She turned 16 in like 3 weeks.
That's crazy.
Insane. It's insane. It's insane. Okay. So Claire, we ask everyone this very final statement. If you were able to leave us with just one thing today, what would it be?
So there's a long answer to this question, but the statement, so let me get the answer first and then I'll. So I think worship across the board is absolutely a gift. The ability to exalt Jesus through worship is an honor that we have as his people. And it doesn't always mean like standing in a church on a stage with a worship, but with a guitar and a microphone. It can absolutely be lived out day to day. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an act to show great respect and reverence. We can honor God even with the words that we say or the way we act. And I think even as I was saying before, the journey to encounter God is not, it's not just a switch that you can turn on and off. It's very much a process, and it takes time. It takes humility. It takes willingness to sometimes just sit at his feet and not have any expectations. And even as a leader, I think some people are like, oh, worship leaders have it perfect. It is very difficult. But again, it's a process that everyone is, like, has to be patient with. It's a process that I hope it never ends. I always want to learn more about God and his heart for his people. And I think that's the key. Whenever anyone talks about entering into worship, it starts with a humble heart that's willing to hear from the Spirit. So the one statement that I have is stay humble, stay prayerful, stay intentional, and keep going back to his feet time and time again.
Oh, I love that.
Honey, I love that. Well said, Claire.
Thank you.
Well said.
That is good. That's a quote. It's quotable. I love that.
I've actually been learning a lot about it lately because, I mean, even as you were talking about being in a pit, like, sometimes I just want to figure it all out. Sometimes I just have to sit there. And, like, even somebody was like, Claire, Jesus promises in John 4 that if you go to the well, he will fill you up.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right.
I just love that. The latest story school that we're going to be doing, we do this thing on Thursdays. We call it story school. It's a bunch of women gathering on Zoom, and we do different courses. And this one is on spiritual disciplines. And I've been just reading a lot about, like, silence and solitude and some of the classical spiritual disciplines that, you know, but I read this and it's exactly to the heart of what you just said. And I won't quote it right, but it's something like this. If we're outside and the moon is shining and we're all gathered around and I am pointing my finger at the moon, and I'm telling you all about the moon, and we're talking all about the moon. We're trying to understand the moon. We're putting words to the moon, and everyone's looking at my finger, and no one's really enjoying the moonlight, okay? And the idea is, with God, we wrap so many words around trying to understand him, trying to encourage one another, and that's all good, of course. But we also need to learn to just sit in his presence. Mm-hmm. And the idea of just sitting and letting the moonlight shine on you without having to explain it and put words around it. And what do you think about the moonlight? Well, here's what I think. You know,
yeah.
Can we slow down? Can we find some silence and solitude and just enjoy the moonlight? Shining on us. And I'm like, okay, I get that analogy, Lord. I'm not good at it because I like words.
right.
I like people, and silence and solitude is a discipline for me. It doesn't come naturally, but I see the beauty in it. And then when someone like you at 17 can articulate that, stay prayerful, stay humble, stay seeking. That is just confirmation. It's a key. It is a key to understanding his heart, being in his presence and being so grateful for his presence, not his answers, not so grateful because I asked him to do this and he did it. Woohoo. I love him, but just grateful for, I asked him to do this. He didn't do it. But you know what? He shined his presence on me through.
And even thinking about the future, as stressed out as I want to get, and I do get, I think there's beauty in waiting because it gives us the ability to trust God.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's good.
Yes, honey.
That's so good.
Oh, listeners, we are out of time once more.
Perfect.
But Claire, we love you and thank you for your vulnerability and thank your wisdom and just your freshness and
sharing
your story.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Listeners, this is an episode you're going to want to share with your friends. Text it to them, tag them on socials. This is something that you're going to want to lean into. Also, I think in the show notes, if I'm looking at this correctly, one of your YouTube worships, that's not how you say it. One of your worshiping and you're, there's a little thing here. Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
worship videos. Is that what you're saying?
So y'all need to go to there because, sometimes Claire does some Facebook live worshiping and it's beautiful. It's absolutely lovely. And so go to her YouTube channel. You'll see it in the show notes and it will bless your soul. So,
and obviously go to Claire's bakery also.
Yeah. Katie's the baked good. The baked good.
The baked good shop. Because, I mean, you'll get your soul blessed through worship on YouTube, and you can get your body blessed through the desserts.
That's what I'm saying. So good. That is good. That's awesome. Claire, thanks for being with us. You are a gem.
Thanks for having me. I'll be praying for your heels.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. I will too, Susan. I didn't even know about your heels.
Oh, it's so silly. It's so silly that something that, it's so silly not that something silly. That small makes you that crazy.
You know why? It's not silly though, because we're body, soul, and spirit.
That's right.
Sometimes we think we're just spirit or just our mind or our emotions, but our body plays a big role.
Yeah.
Obviously, that I'm stating the obvious, but it's also intertwined.
Yeah. Now, Katie, I want to say one last thing before we get off here. You finished up this last semester of story school yesterday, right? We had people that were writing about it on the social media and they were very sad that it was the last one.
So, really?
Yeah, it was sweet. It was precious. They took pictures of y'all's little Zooms and small groups. And so they are loving story school, Katie. You're rocking that, man. And now the next one, it's you and Portia together, right?
Yes. Sorry, I kept muting myself because my clock is going crazy. yeah, Portia and I are going to kind of go back and forth with the teaching. And the really one very exciting thing, and I don't know when this will air, so this might be over and done with and beside the point, but the book we're using is by an author that we actually interviewed on the on the podcast, Sharon Garlow Brown. I don't think we've released her episode yet, but she is amazing, speaks all over the world, is truly a spiritual director with great, great wisdom. Anyway, so we're using her book, and I had texted her just to say, hey, some of our leaders have already gotten the book and couldn't stop reading it, even though we haven't even started yet. And one of them said, I was 10 pages in when I knew this book would radically change my life.
Oh,
because she's fairly new to Christ.
Yeah.
She had a religion for years, but not a relationship. And this whole idea of actually being in a relationship, and this book leads you to slow down and to get in his presence.
It kind of
shows you how. But anyway, so I texted Sharon just to tell her that, hey, just a word of encouragement. Your book is changing lives.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's all I said. She texted back and I told her, you know, that we were going to be using it in this story school. She texted back. She said, I'd love to join your story school and went for one of your sessions and meet your ladies and talk to them. I said, you read my mind. I was going to ask you. And then I thought it was too gutsy because you're so busy. So I didn't. Yes. So that she's going to be our little star.
guest speaker. I love that.
A guest speaker. Exactly. Exactly.
I love that.
Anyway. You might have to cut that out of this recording, Susan, but I wanted to say it anyway.
I don't think we should cut it out. I love it. That's a really
We're so excited. We are all so excited for that. So, anyway, we love y'all listeners and we will see you next week.
All right, Claire, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, we love y'all and you have a great, great rest of your week. We'll see you next Friday. Bye.
Bye.